What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday. It's May 6th, 2024. And as you can see, I'm the only one on the screen. But as you can also see on the overlay on the screen, it's not going to be the Josh of the J-Man month joining me this evening. No, he's on daddy duty. Duty calls. It's a good friend of the podcast, Evan Webb, will be joining me here shortly. He's having some technical difficulties. He's about to throw his computer across the room. His words. Not mine. So he will be joining me shortly here, so you won't all be stuck with hearing my voice or seeing my ugly mug for the next hour. So no worries. No worries out there. But hope everybody's been having a good start to the week. Hope everybody had a good Cinco de Mayo, yesterday. Ate some chips and salsa, drank some margaritas, whatever. However you celebrate, if you celebrate, I hope you did that. But episode 390 of the Tan and J-Man Show tonight, streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, along with the ISC Sports Network X page and YouTube channel, and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page as well, and on our X channel as well. So please hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button at Tan and J-Man Show on all social media channels. You haven't already, and if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform, please give us a rating and review. That really helps us out. And please make sure you hit that follow button or subscribe button as well. If you're like me, you listen to a lot of podcasts, but sometimes you don't even realize that, even though you listen to them every week, that you're actually not following that podcast. But there's so many podcasts out there that really helps us podcasters out immensely. So really appreciate it. But got an exciting show tonight. Once Evan hops on, we're going to be talking some NBA playoffs as the Pacers and Knicks kick off game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals tonight, 7:30. So right as this podcast is wrapping up, that'll start game one in Madison Square Garden. So we got to talk about that. We'll be talking some MLB. Evan's a White Sox fan, so I'm interested to hear his take on how the season's going so far. And also, we'll be talking about the current landscape of college sports, as Evan's a big Purdue fan like myself, but he's even a bigger college basketball junkie than I am. So I'm interested to get his take on the current landscape, where he sees it going here in the near future. We might even recap some of Purdue's season, since we do another podcast together, the Boiler Breakdown podcast. That's a cheap plug there because we can. So I haven't talked to him on the pod, done a podcast with him since. So I'm anxious to get his thoughts. But here he is. Here is the man of the hour himself, Evan Webb. Webby, what's going on?
Not much, Tan. Just lovely computer problems, but happy to be here.
I told everybody you were ready to throw it across the room, so we're all
good. Yeah. We're good. We're good. We're here. Hopefully, we stay here. Hopefully, this thing doesn't go wonky on me, but happy to be here.
I hear you nice and clear. I see you nice and clear, so we're ready to rock and roll. I was telling everybody we got an exciting show tonight, and appreciate you filling in again for Josh the J-Man Mon on a short notice. So, but we'll be talking some NBA playoffs, as I was saying, the Pacers and Knicks game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals tonight, Madison Square Garden, 7:30. So right as this podcast is ending, that'll start. So that's exciting. We'll be talking some MLB. Want to get your thoughts on the White Sox. I tried not to chuckle, but I couldn't. And also current landscape of college sports, because like I said, I just plugged our other podcast with a breakdown. Mm-hmm. I know you're a huge college basketball junkie, and just want to get your thoughts on the current landscape and how everything's just accelerating faster and faster, and it's just so hard to predict. But before we do all that, I have a birdie or bogey question for you tonight, and it is college basketball related, because you, like I said,
thank
are a college
God.
Basketball junkie. So I want to give you a chance. It's a pretty straightforward question. There's seven active NCAA college head basketball coaches that have won a national championship. Who are they?
Okay, who have won a national championship? Okay.
Yep. There's only seven of them. Kind of surprising. I thought there'd be more until I found the question. So, seven of them.
I like it.
And the birdie or bogey question is brought to you by, like it is every week, Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located on 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And I better get up their specials up here to see what they got going on tonight. This is usually J-Man's read, so I'm not prepared. I know it's pizza night tonight. Every Monday night's pizza night. Can't go wrong with pizza. And yeah, pizza Monday tonight, $1 off domestic beers. And of course, they got great food on the rest of their menu. Over the weekend, it looks like on Friday, they had all you can eat fish, their signature dish, a beer battered fish. They've been doing that a lot on Fridays as well. So if you haven't checked out Arlington Public House, give them a visit on 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And their hours are Monday through Thursday, 4 to 9 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 4 to 10 p.m. So give them a check. Check out. You will not be disappointed. Oh, so. Webby, you want to be educated real quick?
Let's do it.
All right. First time I'm looking at this today. So we'll both. I try to do that anymore. I used to kind of take a sneak peek.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what I was getting myself into, but I like to be surprised. Of course, a lot of Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's one for you. And the only reason I'm sharing this is because you're on the podcast. On this day, 1903, the Chicago White Sox committed 11 errors against the Detroit Tigers, but won 10-9.
There you go.
At Southside Park. I did not know it was once called Southside Park.
Did not either.
That's a better name than what it's called now.
You're not wrong.
Let's see here. Oh, here's a good one. On this day in 1915, future baseball Hall of Famer Babe Ruth hit his first MLB home run, and he also pitched, says, 12 frames in the Boston Red Sox 4-3 extra innings lost to the New York Yankees. Hmm. Were they called frames back then instead of innings? It's weird.
Like bowling.
yeah, bowling. A lot of Kentucky Derby. Holy cow. They made a movie about this. On this day, 1954, English athlete Roger Bannister became the first person to run a sub 4 minute mile, recording 3 minutes 59.4 seconds, I should say. I was over in Oxford. Dang. Oh, that's weird. I don't know why I thought there was going to be a first selection in the NBA draft in 1965, but this guy was the fourth selection, so I don't know why. Okay, whatever. Let's see. On this day, 1982, Seattle Mariners' Gaylord Perry became the 15th pitcher to win 300 games. You know, that's a feat that's getting tougher and tougher for guys to hit nowadays.
Yeah.
300 wins, 500 homers. Feats that, like, growing up, you and I saw guys accomplish all the time.
It seems right, like, yeah.
Baseball's changed a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's getting the way – I feel like it can go both ways. You see some records, like, I mean, NBA. I don't know if, like, LeBron's – I didn't think LeBron – or I didn't think – was it Kareem's record or whatever you've broken? But then, I mean, guys are playing longer. But then also you throw in, you know – they aren't playing as much because of load management, but you wonder if everyone will ever pass LeBron, especially if he's got a few more years left. But then we look at some of these records, like in, I feel like baseball is the one where some of these records will just never be broken because they're not playing more games. They're not, you know, unlike, you know, the NFL, which has changed so much, and they've, you know, the schedules have gotten, you know, now they're at 17 games or whatever it is now versus what it used to be. So now these guys have more games to try and get these things done. I feel like baseball has been such a hard sport to be one of the greats.
Oh, I agree completely. And it's interesting too. Like, I feel like in NFL for, I guess you could say the NFL too, but more so the MLB, the Hall of Fame, the requirements in the Hall of Fame have changed a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some guys that I've got in the past few years. I'm like, do they really deserve to get in? But
yeah,
like you said, it's changing. Let's see what else we got here. On this day in 1997, we had two events happen. The NHL's Hartford Whalers became the Carolina Hurricanes, and Rick Pitino became the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
I forgot he went to the NBA.
Yeah, it didn't do so well.
No. Are the Hurricanes, speaking of the Hurricanes, are they still in the playoffs?
Yes, they beat the Islanders. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so they have game two. Oh, yeah, they lost game one last night. That's yep. Right.
Yeah, the Avalanche finally can start game one this week. They've been waiting yeah. forever. It seems like Vegas and the Stars to get done, which the Stars won. So that was interesting, too. I read today there is four cities that have their NHL and NBA teams still alive.
Yeah, listen, New York. So I was like thinking, I know you're a Yankee fan, but I was like, man, if you're too bad you're not a Knicks and Rangers fan, because it'd be a great time to be a New Yorker right now. They haven't had that in a while. When you got with the Avalanche. In that
building.
In that one building, Got the Avalanche with Denver, with the Avs and Nuggets.
Same building.
Boston with the Bruins and Celtics. Same building. Who's the other one?
It is Dallas.
I forgot Mavericks were still in it.
Which I don't know if they're the same building. I want to say no for some reason, but.
Really? I guess I would assume they would have.
Yeah, you're probably right, because most cities outside of like St. Louis, most cities don't have their own.
In Detroit for a while. I mean,
Detroit for a while. San Jose. Some of those. Seattle, because they won't bring back the Sonics. They will. They're coming back.
In due time.
On this day, 1998, I don't remember this. I mean, I was young, but I remember watching highlights of this. Kerry Wood struck out 20 Houston Astros to tie the major league record held by Roger Clemens. Randy Johnson would also go on to do this eventually. He threw a one hitter and did not walk a batter. It was only his fifth career start. That's why everybody thought Kerry Wood was just going to be, with him. And then Mark Pryor.
Pryor.
They thought the Cubs were going to be set forever. And then,
I mean, obviously being a White Sox fan, it wasn't a huge fan. But man, like when I think back, like to like being a kid, like those are the two, like, well, especially like, you know, especially in the White Sox Cubs, like those were dudes that were just so good. Yeah. And those are the first pictures I really like remember, like watching play and then knowing that they were dominant.
Oh yeah. And, in that rotation also in 03 had Carlos Zambrano, Matt Clement. I mean, man,
dang,
those are pretty good horses. Let's see, close my tab. Of course, there it is. All right. This is a weird one. On the thing, 2019, Pablo Sandoval became the second MLB player since 1900 to throw a scoreless outing, hit a home run, and steal a base in the same game in the Giants' 12-4 loss in Cincinnati. He joined Christy Mathewson in 1905.
Dang.
Yeah. Very interesting. And I won't quiz you on any Kentucky Derby unless you want to be quizzed.
No, I go over. I'm blanking on who even won. I know our buddy Connor texted us something about it yesterday, and I'm already blanking on what his name was.
I know it was an unbelievable finish between three horses, but I didn't. Yeah. I usually try to watch it. I didn't watch it this year.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
But that will do it for this week's On This Day segment. That's brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know that Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your order. Too late to make an order for Mother's Day now, since Mother's Day is this weekend. But shout out to everybody out there. If you haven't got your mother a gift yet, you better do so. You got a few days, but you better do so. But you can probably get a signed order in for Father's Day. Father's Day is right around the corner in June. Or if you're looking for early Christmas gift, birthday gift, wedding gift, anniversary gift, whatever you're looking for, Thad can do it. He can make a sign out of wood for you. Tell him the Tan and J-Man Show sent you 15% off your first sign order. So, all right, Webby, with all that said, before we get into talking MLB playoffs NBA playoffs, NBA playoffs. MLB, definitely not the MLB playoffs. Yeah, we're not even close. Yeah, like
White Sox are close because they're just out of it already.
But. Yeah, they're close to just pulling everybody up.
Yeah, packing it in. Yeah.
But let's talk some college sports. I know there's not a lot going on. Well, the spring sports are, but there's not a lot going on as far as football and basketball because the transfer portal window is closed right now, even though teams are still adding guys. It's,
it had to be their paperwork had to be filed. So it's just a matter of like, you know, was it their paperwork had to be filed by May 1st. And but these guys are still kind of popping up.
Gotcha.
That makes sense. As it becomes official. Yeah.
That makes sense. So, I mean, what's your take with the current landscape of college sports?
It's wild, man. And on one aspect, I hate it just because it's, you know, old man feeling of like it's not what we grew up loving.
Not even close
anymore. On the other hand, though, it is fun to, you know, to have college basketball, college football kind of in the spotlight. I mean, now all year long, where, you know, used to be, you know, you get to this point in the year, you know, tournament ends, you know, you may have, you know, about a week worth of stuff, you know, as things kind of come to a close, but things quickly move on to, baseball, NBA playoffs, you know, anything, you know, obviously here in Indiana, the Indy 500. But now it's like, I mean, college basketball, I mean, my whole Twitter feed, granted I'm on our Boiler Breakdown Twitter a lot. It's just like nothing but college basketball portal news.
It's almost news when somebody doesn't jump in the portal.
Yeah. Say it when guys are tweeting that they're running it back or coming back or they're, you know, not going to the portal. It's almost as significant as guys who are going to the portal. Which, I mean, shout out to the guys who make all the graphics for these players, because I'm sure they're,
oh my goodness.
I know Joe Tipton's getting paid handsomely, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, they're loving this now. The graphic designer's like, what?
Gets one when he commits to a school, gets one when he goes in the transfer portal, gets one when he cuts his list down to four or five schools, gets another one when he actually commits to the other school, gets it again when the kid transfers a year later.
So if he doesn't age too much, he can keep the ring of him and just change the uniform and
change the jersey. Logo. Yeah. No, I mean, it's wild. I mean, just how fast, I mean, I feel like it was, you know, college sports were the same, at least what it feels like to me until, I mean, really 2021, that, you know, obviously with COVID, that kind of was the first like real disruption it felt like in college sports. Maybe outside of the, you know, the one and done, or like the one and done rule going to effect of guys can't go straight out of high school. I feel like it was kind of status quo for so long. And then after COVID, you threw in, you know, transfer portal, you threw an NIL kind of all at once. And then you guys getting in a sixth or seventh year with the COVID year. It's just been absolute mayhem. And I don't know. There's no way this can keep up for like ever.
I wouldn't think so,
but I've been wrong before. I would hope things kind of maybe settle down a little bit next summer with the COVID year going away for most guys. There'll still be some stragglers. I know like Rink Mask for Nebraska, who's going to be out this whole year with knee surgery, which is a bummer for Nebraska basketball fans. So he'll be back next year for his seventh year in college because he registered his freshman year at Bradley, played 3 years. Came to Nebraska this year, got the redshirt again this year, the medical redshirt, and then play next year. But I mean, I don't really know what to say, but other than that, it's just, I mean, the Wild West. I don't know how. I mean, I think part of it is just the NCAA was able to get away with talking or saying things for so long of how this is just the way it is, and you can't challenge us. And then when people actually started to challenge them, they realized that they had kind of their house of cards came crumbling down because they had nothing to stand on. So now it's kind of just opened the floodgates of, I mean, why not? I mean, what was it? There are two guys from St. John's who are suing the NCAA trying to play another year, even though they've already exhausted all the eligibility. And it's like, I mean, at this point, why not? Why wouldn't they win it? Because the NCAA can't win anything.
Don't get a job.
Yeah. It's just like, it's wild, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see why it's, you know, obviously entertaining if you're a fan of, like, you know, it makes things interesting in the off season. Us as Purdue fans, you know, it's been a relatively quiet off season for basketball.
You surprised by that?
Yes and no. It's more just been like just anxiety inducing on my end. Just like, you know, as you are well aware from our group chat with our good friend Andrew, of me just praying every day that no one jumps in the portal.
Stay away, get back. Stay away.
stay away from our starting five. I mean, there was a whole lot of, you know, obviously rumors or on message boards and all that, you know, going to the office or really starting in probably January, you know, would Caleb first jump in the portal? Would, you know, Brian Waddell, those sort of players. But I wasn't really all that concerned about. I feel like it kind of just goes back to what, you know, things that Painter does, which is, you know, he recruits guys that aren't, you know, obviously swayed by, you know, just money. I mean, obviously it comes to a point where, you know, if someone offers you, as case in point with Chucky Hepburn with Louisville, 100%. And it's like, I don't blame the kid for doing that at whatsoever. Life-changing money. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you could, you know, God forbid tears his ACL, you know, midway through the season and ruin his career, but at least he got, you know, hopefully paid well. So that was really my biggest concern was just someone coming in, especially, you know, we hear rumors about, you know, Gonzaga coming after Braden Smith and offering, you know, $1 million plus for him. And you know, just stuff like that, where it's like, you know, I mean, again, it's hard for the kid to turn that down. I mean, I think Braden has a chance to potentially go to the NBA one day just from, I think what helps him is his wingspan, being a short guy. He's got a pretty long wingspan, which helps him on defense. I think he at least has a shot. I'm not saying he'll make a career out of it, but I think he's, you know, he'll have a better shot than some people will give him credit for. And so I'd like him to play 4 years at Purdue. But when I hear, you know, things like that happening, you know, Gonzaga came after him last offseason. So they came after him pretty hard again this offseason. You know, who's to say others didn't? That was my biggest worry, not the fact that a guy was just going to up and leave. Obviously, we had Mason Gillis and Ethan Morton leave, which we knew if you paid attention at all to Purdue news, even before the season, you knew that was that they were not coming back next year.
Wait, you're telling me Purdue, it wasn't a case of Purdue just didn't want him? That's what they tell me online.
Didn't want Zach Eadie either, apparently. but we kind of knew those three guys were going to be gone no matter what, whether it was, you know, they professionally or they look for a COVID year elsewhere. And then there's obviously the whole thing, you know, Purdue is now over the scholarship limit by one. If you ask me, I think I think the two possibilities that I am, if I don't bet, but if I did bet, I'd bet either one of the incoming freshmen goes to prep school or someone like a Brian Waddell goes off scholarship.
You know what really sucks for that? If that happens to to a person, which maybe they could find a way around it, but at least when we were in school, maybe things have changed, but when we were in school, and I know this just from being a football manager, to eat in the athletic dining hall, you have to be on scholarship.
Oh, walk-ons really?
Cannot eat in the athletic dining hall. And I don't know what other perks, but there's certain perks you only get if you're on scholarship. So, but saying if somebody was on scholarship, then isn't like from a coaching decision. I don't know how that works. I don't know. But yeah, that was part of it back then. So I said, a lot has changed though. So.
Yeah, but it's like it's been relatively quiet, you know, on the Purdue message boards, which is very apparent with just some of the topics that are being discussed on there, which,
oh my goodness,
part of me is like, it's nice to not have to really worry about not like be glued to that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, like, you know, especially the last, you know, given the last 2 months of the season, just how fun and stressful they were. It's nice to just kind of take a step back, but also like you see all the other schools involved in the portal. It's like, oh, that was, you know, Purdue had, you know, was looking for one spot last year and that was fun. Kind of just like seeing the possibilities, so it's like, I'm glad to have a break, but also like, it's like, oh, I wish we were being talked about.
No, I'm right there with you. My body's glad we have a break, like our blood pressure and everything. But at the same time, it's like, it is a quiet front. And you see all these metrics of Big Ten schools, like how many transfers they got. Like USC's got 9 out of the portal, and then Purdue's the only school with none. But I don't view it as a bad thing. I view Purdue being very fortunate. And I think Matt Painter wants to keep this string going as long as he can. Now, someday, will he have to dip into portal more so than he has? Probably. That's just the nature of the beast, I think. But I think as long as he's a head coach at Purdue and as long as he can, he's going to try to just recruit high school kids, develop, and not have to go into the portal unless it's just for kind of putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole sort of thing.
Right. It's definitely going to be a clash of philosophy. It really kind of was like even like this year with Purdue and Illinois right there at the top, whereas Purdue, you know, had, you know, one transfer, and then Illinois was kind of obviously had some multi-year guys like Terrence Shannon was a transfer, but he had played, it was his second year in the program. But you know, a lot of their starting five were transfer guys, and then this year they just picked up their sixth transfer going into next year. And it's kind of that debate of like, you know, which style is, you know, is going to win out. You know, some people think that, you know, this is the way to go, which, you know, it proved to work for them this year. Obviously making the Elite Eight, and running into an absolute buzzsaw of UConn, which Purdue fans are all well too familiar with. But then also you had the year before, you know, it didn't work out. You know, I know our friend, our J-Man, was not pleased with how that team played. No. And that was a team of, transfer mercenaries, and just, it didn't work out. So it's just like, you know, I mean, you look at the same thing with Eric Musselman coming to USC, his Arkansas teams, you know, one year they're really good, and this year they were not good at all. Yep. So it's just kind of, you know, it depends on, the characters you bring in and, the fit. It's just, it's obviously, it's pretty tough, as we see with football all the time, of trying to bring all these guys in. You know, with high school recruiting, you can get to know them for years over time. But when it comes to the portal, it's, you have to know them over a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you can't win championships on paper. It's interesting. Like, I'm going to take Indiana for instance. I'm not trying to rip on them, but they on paper look much improved compared to last year, and they're going to probably be ranked pretty nicely in the preseason rankings. But I'm not putting out my judgment until I see them on the court come November. Maybe that's not even fair, because like Josh was saying with Illinois last year, he didn't even like Illinois halfway through December,
right,
because
right,
they just weren't gelling very well. So I don't even know if it's fair to even put a judgment on a team until about January, about when conference play starts.
100%, yeah.
But and then you got football, you don't have time to gel, and football's completely different. Football's a beast. Yeah. You have to be in a portal. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You have to be. In schools like Purdue, Illinois, Indiana, that are going to be used probably more times than not, unfortunately, in this current landscape of how things are, as stepping stones for their better players to go to bigger programs for the NFL. All you can do is hope to keep those better players, recruit the guys you can get, keep them and develop them, kind of like Matt Painter's trying to do for Purdue basketball. That's what these mid-tier Power 5 schools have to do to even try to compete, because the expectations have changed so much even within the last 4 years for a lot of these football programs. I mean, we'll take the second stringers from Georgia all day long, please. Yeah. You know they have talent. At least they didn't really get a chance to showcase it, or the guys in front of them are just high quality draft picks and they can't beat them out. So, but it does sting a little bit when you see, like, for instance, Nick Skorton, transfer from Purdue at Texas A&M. He's mocked as top 10 right now. And I saw a college football analyst yesterday said the one guy he's intrigued to watch more than any in the nation's Deion Burks from Oklahoma, because he said he's a top 5 wide receiver in the draft next year. Just like,
And that's what I mean. And when it comes to like the NIL and stuff, like I can't blame the players for going out and, you know, again, it can be life changing money. What annoys me is the, and again, it's just, you know, the fandom part of me is like, you know, like Nick Skorton, for example, you know, he, you know, from what we understand, you know, Walters and staff went down, talked to him and his family. Things were quote unquote good between Purdue and him and everything. And then he goes home for winter break, and then like right before the portal closes, he doesn't even tell Walters, or he tells him
literally
right
the day before or the day
or I think it was the day of, like before it like broke, he says, hey, I'm going to the portal. And then it wasn't, you know, being a college station kid, it wasn't too hard to figure out where he was going, which is where he ended up at Texas A&M, which that's the unfortunate part. I will say there was, and I hate that I'm saying on this podcast with who your co-host is, because he's going to hear this, but there's another podcast that I like to listen to. It's the Goodman and Hummel podcast with Jeff Goodman and Robbie Hummel. And their most recent episode was this week, and Jeff Goodman, Robbie Hummel was not on it, but a player that is fond in our hearts, Coleman Hawkins, was on the podcast. And I hate that I really enjoyed it. He was actually a really good listen. There's a couple points where I wanted to poke my eyes out, but he was very open about the state of college sports. And he even said, he's like, it was, you know, when he talks about like NIL and all that, he even said as much as he, you know, enjoys, you know, he's reaping the benefits of NIL with how things are, he says there really should be some sort of like salary cap on, because when you look at Minnesota basketball, like they're decimated. Like they're losing. Yep. I think they have a couple good guys back, but they lost, you know, their
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, you know, obviously losing maybe some of their best players in Cam Christie, you know, on the, you know, in the witching hours of the portal closing. Yep. it's just, it's tough for them. Cause I mean, obviously I know they have NIL, but not like, you know, the Illinois, Indiana's, the Kansas's, the Kentucky's of the world. And it's just like, it's just the unfortunate part is, you know, schools like that, you know, can they even compete again in the conference?
I think salary cap or something similar is where we're heading eventually. Yeah. I don't know if it's 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to, or it's not only going to be, you're going to have the same teams winning over and over again. Fans are going to lose interest. When fans lose interest, ratings will go down. Advertisers aren't going to want to buy advertising space. Turnstile gate numbers aren't going to be, I mean, money, the revenue is just going to go down. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, for me personally, I know like for football, I know we've talked about this, but it's so hard for me to keep up anymore. And as someone who I consider myself a diehard Purdue football fan, like I'm to the point now, like where I, you know, obviously I subscribe to the goldblack.com and on the insiders, but like, I very rarely read anything football related right now. You know, part of that was the basketball team having success and not really just not having the mental capacity to read about anything else at the time. But even now I'm just like, I don't really care. Like when I hate saying that, I'm just like, I'll wait until, I mean, I know the portal's closed now, thankfully. But I'm just like, I'll talk to me in August when, you know, when fall camp starts up and I'll need to figure out who the hell's on the team. Cause I don't know. I'm aside from like six guys.
I feel like I follow up pretty closely and I did read like spring ball stuff, but I'm same way with you. Like I used to be able to, and the college football games used to help, which thank God it's coming back this year. Maybe that'll help too. But I used to be able to name everybody on the roster.
Yeah. Starting 11 and, on both sides easily.
And now I'm like, who's that? Yeah, like right. Number 14.
Yeah.
But no, I'm right there with you. Like August, I got to get a program. Game one, I got to start learning now. By about game three, I know the team for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But it's year to year anymore, college sports. Yeah. And you know, one thing Jamie and I just quickly hit on last week, of course, we talked about the revenue generating sports, football, basketball. But one of the sports getting decimated by SEC from SEC schools is baseball.
Yeah.
SEC schools are going and just choosing who they want from all these other schools, the Big Ten schools, and just killing programs.
Yeah. But,
so it's not just revenue sports. It's all across the landscape. You just don't hear about it as much. So,
Yeah, man.
But we haven't done a podcast since we recapped Purdue's unfortunate loss in the national championship game. How are you feeling now that we're almost exactly a month away from that? I mean, have your thoughts on anything changed or is everything pretty much still the same as it was?
It's pretty much pretty same. I mean, obviously it's a bummer just because it feels like, I think with the portal and how things go now, I feel like it's quickly like just forgotten how great of a season, you know, because I mean, obviously people are going to remember UConn, which they should, the champions, they earned it. They're an incredible team. The fact that all five starters got an invite to the NBA combine is really impressive. They're just an absolute machine. The fact that they, you know, back-to-back tournament champs and every game they won was by double digits. But I mean, it was still a special year. As we've talked about, it was by far the most fun I've had as a fan in any capacity in my life. Being able to be there in Detroit when they clinched to go to the Final Four for the first time since 1980, first time in our lifetime, was pretty emotional, as I'm sure as I know you felt. But yeah, it's just been, and then, you know, coupling that with, you know, the influx of, you know, six incoming freshmen is exciting. It'll be obviously a lot of growing pains next year. You know, it's one thing to have six, you know, transfers who have played basketball, but these are going to be six guys who have never played college basketball in their life. I expect a few of them to be kind of, a couple of them are going to need to contribute right away. So that could be, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see kind of like a, hopefully not to the extent of what 2018, 2019, where, you know, there were 6-5, you know, in December and Tanner's hating.
Hated that team at the time. And then they made a run.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not that extent. Yeah. But I can definitely see, you know, they've got all of a sudden a really interesting tournament out in San Diego with Arkansas. Now that Calipari is there and Notre Dame with Michael Shrewsbury, then
BYU
with new head coach. We'll see. Can't say they're playing Toledo at home, which I think they've won the MAC like four straight years. They did lose as these MAC schools who lost their top three players of the portal, but they're a pretty solid program. So it should be a fun one. Play Texas A&M in Indy. So there'll be plenty of good games for them to play. I don't expect Purdue to go their
at Marquette. Straight
year. At Marquette, I don't expect Purdue to go their fourth straight year of undefeated non-con. If they do, it'll be probably the most impressive one outside of
every year,
2 years ago. More yeah. So. But I'm excited to see these young guys come in and play.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. I hope before then, I hope football somehow makes a bowl. It's just crazy. I know I sound like a broken record. It's just crazy how expectations have changed.
Oh, yeah.
So quickly. I mean, I've never thought Purdue was going to keep me for national championships in football, but now it's like 6 or 7 wins. I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. Especially 2 years ago, it was like, if Purdue can win to get to 10 wins, it'll be the most incredible thing ever. Now it's like, man, if we can just get to 7.
I know. Yep. But I hear good things about the staff on the recruiting trail. Yeah. They're energetic. That's all you can ask for. They're busting their butts and trying their hardest. So, because I think there will be one school in the state of Indiana. I think Notre Dame's going to be pretty good this year, which Purdue gets cracked. Their second game of the season. So, but I think Notre Dame's going to be pretty good this year. So, and it'll be interesting to see the college football playoff with 12 teams this year instead of 4. And then we're going to 14 here in like 2 more years. So.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I want to segue a little bit, and we're going to talk some NBA. How much of the NBA playoffs have you watched?
I've caught a little bit. I've tried to keep up with the Pacers, even though I'm a Bulls fan. I do have a soft spot for the Pacers, and one being living in Indianapolis, it's cool to see them. I mean, their first playoff series win since a decade ago, which is wild.
They've had 4 head coaches in that time span.
Yeah.
2 resets, been swept multiple times in the first round.
And it's cool. You just see the playing the Knicks, which obviously, you know, us growing up, you know, awesome. In the being young kids in the 90s, kind of remembering those Pacers Knicks rivalry.
John Starks, Patrick Ewing, Jalen Rose, Reggie Miller.
Yeah. So it should be really fun. I'm excited to watch it. I mean, probably I'd say the highlight of the playoffs has been Anthony Edwards and just what he's doing.
Incredible.
I love the fact that you've got, I hate that it's in the semifinals with the Wolves and Nuggets. Cause I feel like you've got, would you consider Nuggets a small market team?
I would.
So it's like you've got these two.
It's weird though. Cause like Denver's got to be the winningest small market team. Okay. The Broncos haven't carried their dang weight, but the Avalanche and Nuggets certainly have.
Yeah. But the fact that you've got two small market teams, you know, playing incredible basketball, you know, you could argue two guys who are vying for like kind of the future face of the NBA and Jokic and Anthony Edwards. It should be an incredible series. Hopefully I'm hoping
they're both fun teams to watch.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
Teams to watch. Yeah.
Then you've got obviously, you know, the biggest name, probably one of the biggest names in the NBA, and the Celtics, who just ran away with the East this year.
Yep.
I guess so. I mean, from the NBA really wants the Celtics Knicks just because
100%. Of
the massive, massive markets. I'm kind of right there too, just because I mean, why not? Just see the two biggest, you know, probably two of the three biggest brands in the NBA.
Well, and in a few weeks ago on the pod when, Josh and I were predicting playoffs, I had the Knicks win in the East just to be different. Mm-hmm. And that fan base is a loyal fan base. They haven't done a lot of winning at all.
No.
So when they do win a series, I mean, we saw their fans, the support they had in Philadelphia as a road team. It was nuts. And so if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't know if we've ever seen something in the social media era like we will from an NBA fan base like the Knicks.
It'd be cool. I mean, just from a fan. I mean, just from a fan standpoint, like it'd be cool to see. Just because I feel like, I mean, for me personally, it's been, I'd say, I mean, the last 5-6 years, like there's been nothing drawing me to the NBA playoffs. So even the finals. I mean, the finals used to be something I know, like we used to always watch as a friend group. Right. You know, no matter what, we'd try and get together and watch the game. Now I'm just like, I kind of forget they're on.
I know.
When I was a fan, you know, I liked watching the Warriors when they were kind of going through their run. But like last handful of years, I just have not cared at all. And I think if it's a Celtics Knicks conference finals, like that could be really fun basketball to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to wrap my head around like either the Pacers or Knicks, one of those two is going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
The Pacers would be the first time since 2013, I think.
We lost to the Cavs or the Heat.
Yeah, it's one of those Heat years. They ran into him so often. And then the Knicks haven't made it since 99.
Wow.
Eastern Conference Finals. So, It's been a long time. Yeah.
What is it like? Pacers, I saw a stat. It was like the Pacers in the semifinals are like 6-1 or something like that all time, like in the conference semifinals. So like,
yeah, they lost the Heat one of those years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something weird. Like the record in the conference semifinals it's really good. Record in the conference finals is not good.
Well, a lot of times they ran into Jordan and LeBron. Jordan really.
Or LeBron. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And then the series is not getting talked about a lot. It's Mavericks and Thunder.
Yeah.
You know, you got Luka doing Luka things. Kyrie all of a sudden is playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oklahoma City.
A lot of young talent. A lot of young.
It's same thing with Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think in Orlando, even though Orlando got knocked out, I think those three, if they play their cards right, they should be good for a long time.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, a lot of times we see that and then it falls apart. AKA right. The Suns, which
yeah,
the Suns went and grabbed Durant, and then they got three guys that kind of do the same thing, and it just doesn't gel very well. But the NBA is pretty fascinating. I feel like there's more parity right now than we've seen in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But there's also some teams that, like my dad and I were talking yesterday, and I'll open it up for a question. Like, who do you think, like, when there's an NBA team that just comes to mind to you that's just, like, what NBA team do you think like generates the least revenue? Would you say like
the least revenue?
Yeah, just from like popularity standpoint, attendance standpoint. You know, is there a team or two that comes to your mind that just has never really been good during our lifetime? Or if they have been good, like say they when they do make the playoffs, they never really like are a serious contender.
Yeah,
we threw out a couple yesterday when we were discussing this.
I mean, like Pelicans come to mind for some reason. Like, I know they haven't been, and they've had some decent years, but I feel like the Zion hype came and went very fast. Like, he came into the league. I mean, you could probably throw the Pacers in there a little bit they're not the most, I mean, obviously in the state of Indiana, they're everything, mm-hmm. but like, I feel like outside is kind of just like, you mm-hmm. know, it's been a long time since Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. Man.
We threw out like the Hornets.
Yeah, I was just thinking Charlotte's.
I threw out the Blazers.
Because, I was just thinking the Blazers because, like, I mean, outside of Dame and like a few couple good runs, like they haven't been nothing no. really been.
The Wizards.
Yeah,
the Wizards are pretty bad. Wizards, right now they're really bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, in terms of like revenue, man, I know they're good right now and they have been good. But like, I mean, I probably don't ever like, I don't like, when I think of like a big NBA, I don't think of the Thunder just where they're located. This is the biggest reason. Obviously, right. I know they had some really good years with Harden, Durant, right. Westbrook for a couple of years. And then obviously mm-hmm. now they're doing really well, but they just don't come to mind.
Well, the only reason they even got a team is how they supported New Orleans when New Orleans had to relocate because of Hurricane Katrina that right. year. With Oklahoma City, and they did. The fans loved it because they're like, "Hey, we got pro sports now for years." Yeah. And they got a team, a team. Eventually, when they're like, "We're gonna take a team away from an area that really likes their basketball in Seattle. They got everything else, but we're gonna strip them from them." So, yeah. But I think Sonics are coming back, and I think Vegas gets an NBA team, and I think Memphis moves to the East. I've been saying that for a long time. So. What's your predictions for these series?
Let me pull up the bracket here. Just kind of going from the way the ESPN is set up. I've got Western mm-hmm. Conference 1-5, Thunder versus Mavericks. I'm going to go with Thunder. Go Thunder and 5. I don't know why, just to be different.
I'm going Mavs and 6. I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of Thunder. I know they're a one seed for a reason, but I don't know. I feel like Luka does, like I said, Luka things, and Kyrie, if he keeps playing like he has been lately, they're tough to beat.
The 2-3 Timberwolves versus Nuggets. So I guess that way I said it's 3-2. Sorry, Tane. I'm gonna go Timberwolves just because of Anthony. I'm gonna Timberwolves in 7. I hope that series goes to 7.
I'm gonna go Nuggets in 7, but Nuggets have to have tonight. Rudy Gobert being out is probably gonna help Denver. Yep. Jamal Murray, though, he's banged up. He didn't practice all last week leading up to game one, and it showed. They got to take care of the ball. I thought they were very lazy the other night. Even Joker was very lazy. Mm-hmm. They got to get tonight. You cannot go down in a 2-0 hole, especially at home. But that series is going to be fun to watch. I think it goes seven, but I'll go with the Nuggets. Eastern Conference then.
I hate that. I'm just going chalk. Celtics, I know it's easy to do. Yeah, Celtics, Cavs. I think Celtics. I want to say five. I mean, I guess I could see. Maybe I'll say Celtics in six.
I'll take Celtics in five. I almost want to say Celtics in four, but the fact that the Heat got one on them, Cavaliers are better than the Heat, and Donovan Mitchell can will that team to win one game. Yep. He's incredible. So,
And then Pacers, Knicks. I'm going to go with the Knicks. I'm going to say Knicks in six.
This is going to be Tanner's book and prediction of the week. I'm going Knicks in seven. I think the Pacers get game one tonight. I have a weird feeling. I think Reggie Miller's in the house. He's hoping for Reggie Sucks chance, he said. Said he might go
shoot. Is he on the call?
Yeah, he might go shoot jumpers in front of Spike in pregame, he said, just for good old times.
That's even awesome.
They get along now. They have put all their baggage aside. But I think in the end, the Knicks are just going to be too tough. Pacers got some really good young players, but the Knicks have a bona fide superstar. Look what he did putting 40 plus up the other night in the playoffs. He can will them to the win. I think we're going to get a Knicks Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. And that's Tanner's Book and Prediction of the Week, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent Travis Watchering. Travis is a multi-line agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, renters insurance, annuities, and more. You can contact Travis for all your insurance needs at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchering@infb.com.
You didn't see Jalen Brunson being this player coming out of
college. Oh, gosh, no.
To say, there's no way. It's wild. I remember when he signed that contract, I was like, are they really going to pay all that money to Jalen Brunson? I thought it was a great, number two, number three to a guy. But I was like, I'm an idiot, obviously.
It's so hard to predict. You brought up Braden Smith, and Dad asked me over the weekend if I thought Braden would be an NBA player. I said, it's going to be close. I said, he's a fantastic college player. Yeah. It's just so hard telling. But I said, there's guys in the league that I think Braden's already had a better college career than them in 4 years, and they're doing fine in the NBA. So there's other guys that I thought would be bona fide superstars that fell off. So it's just hard telling.
I think you look at something. I know Painter's made this reference, and it's very easy to do because he's also a short white point guard. But Peyton Pritchard, the Celtics, who was an absolute stud in college, and like I said, all he just needs a shot. So
It's the right fit too. Sometimes a lot of times, all these pros, NFL, NBA, it doesn't matter if they got talent, they can overcome one. Not always. Get stuck in the wrong fit, then you don't have a good 3 to 4 years. You don't get re-signed for your rookie contract. You go play for lesser money for somebody, and you never.
I mean, case in point, Etuan Moore, Juwan Johnson, again, to make it the Purdue podcast, but they got drafted by the Celtics with a coach who hated playing rookies. Just never really had a good chance.
One carved out a fairly nice NBA career for himself. Yeah. The other one, fortunately, didn't, but it's had a good career overseas in Europe. So, it's so hard to predict. But, with that said, let's transition into some MLB talk. This is where I rely on the J-Man to carry the pod because I have watched so little baseball right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of keep up with these standings. Just for this podcast, really. That's my main reasoning. But I look at the standings right now, and then the AL East, the Yankees actually aren't winning the division anymore. They're one game back of the Orioles. The Yankees have a 23-13 record, Orioles 23-11. But they're hitting the ball well. They're relatively staying healthy. They're pitching better than I think anybody thought. That's why they're 23-13. Aaron Judge got ejected Saturday for the first time in his career, arguing balls and strikes, and he came out a little ticked off yesterday and pimped out his first at bat. He pimped out a home run. So, hey, if he's going to do that, get ejected more times than not.
Why not?
But the AL East is still a juggernaut. You got the Red Sox in third, which is kind of surprising, 19-16. Then the Rays 17-18 and the Blue Jays 16-19. But everybody's right there. AL Central, Guardians, what a story they've been with this roster. They're 22-12. Twins are red hot, 19-14. I mean, they had won 11 straight at one point. A lot of those against the White Sox. Sorry, Webby, but
I mean, the whole AL Central, all the teams are four of the five teams are above 500, and then you got the White Sox. Just
the Sox are 8-26. They've been playing better the last week and a half.
Won three in a row. That's almost half their games.
Dude, you just crawl in the hole. I mean, what do they got to do to turn this around eventually? Because, I mean, I don't follow them near as closely as you do, but I feel like they had a window a few years ago to win, and it closed, unfortunately, without doing a lot of winning, and now they're
– And it closed fast. Like, there was the 1 year they had a pretty decent year, and then they got rid of the gentleman – they got rid of the manager, brought in – it started with Tony La Russa. They brought in Tony La Russa. I think that just absolutely ruined everything. God, Reinsdorf is – So I'm rewatching The Last Dance just because I haven't seen it since COVID. And it's a great documentary. And I for some reason, I just completely forgot that he's on it. But when I heard Jerry Reinsdorf talk, he talks before you see him and he started talking. And I immediately just got so mad. Said some things in my living room when I was home alone. He's
killing those two franchises.
He is. He needs to sell both of them. Like it's in like the Bulls going back to the NBA talk. Like it's, they're just mediocre. I mean, it's kind of what the Pacers did for so long, where it's like, he had said at one point, he wants to be playing meaningful basketball down the stretch, which I guess it depends what your definition is of meaningful basketball. It's like, are you vying for a play-in spot? Which I think the play-in games are stupid now.
Yeah. I can't stand them.
It's like, does that count as meaningful, or is meaningful like, hey, we're trying to get a top four seed in the playoffs, because the Bulls have not been doing that. And it's like, I'd rather just suck and at least have some draft capital or something. But they need to, I think they need to move some pieces, and it starts with Reinsdorf selling both those franchises, because the Sox are just a lost cause at this point. It's so bad when like fans aren't showing up. And there was J-Man talked about, there's a one game of doubleheader they had like less than 100 people come to the turnstile, which is great, tickets should be cheap. I'm not sure I'm like we even want to go to a game at this point, like, because it's, I don't care how cheap they are, it's just not fun to watch. They couldn't score for so long. I don't know like any of the roster, because it's just not fun to watch. It's bad. It's really, really bad. And it sucks because there was just a few years ago, I was like, okay, this is going to be the start of something hopefully really fun. And where, my love for baseball really kind of reignites. And then that window shuts so friggin' fast.
Yep.
And
yep.
I blame Jerry Reinsdorf and Tony La Russa for just,
yep.
Just
that's a good starting point.
The fire. Yeah.
Yep. AL West, Mariners are leading 19-15, defending the World Series champion Texas Rangers is 19-16. Oakland A's 17-18. That's a lot better start than I ever thought they were going to get out of the gates. Astros still struggling 12-22. Yeah. It might be time to start worrying a little bit.
Yeah.
Then the Angels 12-22. Get rid of Mike Trout, please. Do the guy a favor. Get him to a contender. You're wasting his career. It's ridiculous. NL East, Phillies 25-11. They're really good. So are the Braves 20-12. Nationals 17-17. Better than I expected, honestly. Mets 16-18. I love to see it every year. They're just a dumpster fire, and it's great. Marlins are terrible, 10-26. Brewers 20-13, leading NL Central. Cubs 21-14, playing some pretty good baseball, given they're pretty banged up. Reds 16-18. Pirates 16-19. Cardinals 15-19. Still so weird to see them just not winning games. Then the NL West, Dodgers 23-13. They're a machine. Padres 18-19. Diamondbacks, I thought they'd be a lot better. They're the defending NL champs, 15-20. Giants 15-21, and the horrendous Rockies 8-26. Another team that their owners need to sell the team, but they won't, because
tied with the White Sox for worst record in the league.
But unlike the White Sox, Rockies get pretty good attendance, even though this year's worse than normal. This year's worse than normal. That's Monfort's like, people are showing up. We're gonna line our pockets. We don't care. So I forgot to do the pick six segment, so I better roll through that real quick. Yeah. I got six names here, all different sports that have kind of been on the headlines on ESPN or CBS Sports, wherever you get your news the last day or two. Starting with Jimmy Butler, who wants a contract extension, but Pat Riley's kind of saying time will tell.
Yeah, he's a gamer. Definitely has it's the NBA, so they all have attitudes about themselves, but he seems to definitely be one that stands out amongst the rest a lot of the times. Great player. I mean, obviously, when I think back to the bubble run that they had, and just like how he was just, you know, trying to will that team to a championship and just couldn't get it done. But
he and Tyler really good player.
Wish could have worked out with him in Chicago, but nevertheless, like everything else with the Bulls, it just didn't work out.
Sticking with NBA, Jason Kidd, he was rewarded a nice contract extension by the Mavericks.
I didn't see that. I just think, back, for some reason, I always think back to with him. It was just like the NBA Live growing up, and he was on the cover of like 1 year. Yeah. And he was just so fun to play with.
I think it was NBA Live 04.
Really fun to play with. Incredible point guard. Forget he went to a school like Cal. And just, you know, became, you know, one of the greatest point guards to ever live.
I'll never forget when he was on the Suns before he was a Net in that big trade.
I totally forgot he was on the Harvard. Suns.
And he, there was like, it was around All-Star break 1 year for like a month. He bleached his hair blonde. I had a card growing up. Awesome.
Yeah. I look back to, all I know is he had hair at Cal, and I remember he didn't have hair with the Nets. But
yep. And he played for a lot of teams towards the end of his career, but becoming a pretty good NBA coach. He didn't get off the greatest start with the Bucks, but he's picked it up in Dallas, where he was a 2-time member of the Mavericks as a player. Donovan Mitchell.
Another incredible player. Obviously, remember him at, you know, at Louisville. Doing a really good job. I mean, it's in, he's in a tough spot with in Cleveland. Just obviously, you're always, I feel like you're always still living in LeBron's shadow franchise. But done a really good job there. Obviously, has them in a good spot to potentially, you know, advance to the conference finals. But he's just an all around just incredible scorer.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Three more here, but switching to football, Tom Brady.
The roast of Tom Brady. I have not watched it. Yeah, it sounded like it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
He had a joke about with Peyton Manning and living in
his
shadow.
That was pretty good.
Well, those guys were, I feel like we hated him just because he was really good. And like a lot of greats, I feel like when you see stuff like now he's retired, you hear him talk. It's like, he's just, you know, incredible mind, just an absolute psycho. Cause all those guys are, cause of how they work and stuff, but and just incredible story of him, you know, obviously, I mean, as everybody knows, late, you know, was an afterthought in the draft and then goes on to win. You know, become
he was of all time. One I hated, but I always had to appreciate and respect him just because how could you not?
Yeah.
So, Kirk Cousins came out today, I believe, where one of the reasons he wanted to leave the Vikings, he was tipped off that they were going to draft a quarterback.
Oh boy.
In the first round. Well,
it's a break. He
did the same.
And you can't give Kirk Cousins out thinking you like that.
After
watching, I haven't seen it all, but I'm just like watching part of the quarterback documentary. I mean, obviously he played for the Vikings as a team that I hate being a Bears fan, but watching that, I'm like, God, you're such
a good guy.
He's a good guy. I hate it. Yeah. Don't make me like you, but yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how his career goes in Atlanta. Cause I still know what they're thinking, but not a Falcon fan. So I don't care. No. And lastly, Shedeur Sanders.
Oh my God. Tanner's favorite player.
I'm so glad the Broncos aren't going to be in the quarterback market. That was my worst fear.
Yeah. I mean, he's a personality, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%. And so is his brother.
We'll see. He's making like $1 million per win in this last year that they had at Colorado. Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting a ton of money. Obviously, he's taking after his dad. You know, I mean, obviously, a massive personality. We'll see you know, how he does in year two, but. Has a talent, but we'll see if his mouth gets in the way.
Everybody's mocking him as number one pick in the draft next year. He's a Heisman front runner, and one NFL draft expert said he would have been number one quarterback taken if he would have came out this year.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm like, that's why I'm not an NFL scout. I just don't see it. I mean, he's got great arm strength, but his decision making, I just don't see it. But hey, I'm not a scout. So the J-Man says hello. Hey, J-Man.
Josh, you're late. J-Man, you're late.
Yeah. Glad you could join us for the last minute here for the birdie or bogey. But before we do that, Webby, plug your social there so everybody.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I don't really do much tweeting from my personal Twitter at @ET_Webb. It's also my same as my Instagram handle. But more importantly, follow the Boiler Breakdown podcast if you're a pretty fan or care about Tanner, myself, or our good friend Andrew Eiler at Boiler Break Pod on all social media platforms. We're really good at what we do.
We try. So, all right, Webby, the birdie or bogey question once again. There's 7 active college basketball coaches who have won a national championship. Who are they? If you get 5, I'll give you a par, but you got to get 7 to get the birdie.
I'm pretty confident. I'm not going to lie. All right. Because I was writing them down right when you asked me a question, because otherwise I was going to do it on the spot. We got Mr. Dan Hurley, the psycho himself.
Yes, sir.
We have Mr. Clean Bill Self.
Yeah.
Squeaky clean. Yeah. New Arkansas head coach, John Calipari.
Yes.
We have Mr. Nice Guy, Scott Drew of Baylor.
Yes. Easy one to forget there. Yep.
And it's of Virginia.
Yep.
A guy who I honestly, he was the last one I thought of because he's a coach of a Big Ten school and I forgot Big Ten teams can win a national championship. That's Tom Izzo.
Yep.
And then Mr. Personality, I don't know how to describe him. He's a wild man, but that's Rick Pitino.
You got him, my friend. That's a birdie. Might be the first time we've had a guest get a birdie. I don't know. It feels like it in any golf thing related. Well, Webby, it's been fun. Thanks again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Happy to be on. Good job.
So that is episode 390 of the 10 J Man Show. The J Man will be back next week. Same time, same channel. Have a great week, everybody.